Blog Talk Radio.
Philippians 2.
If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life to supply your lack of service toward me.
Praise the Lord, this is Deacon Thomas Farr, and you are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. We'd like to welcome everyone to the broadcast tonight, for today. This is Saturday, April the 4th, 2020. Another day, another opportunity to glorify God and to help in the advancement of his kingdom, be used by him in the advancement of his kingdom. I thank God for all the brothers who called in. If you called in on 646-668-2636, just press 1 on your keypad. You can join the conversation, ask a question, share your wisdom and insight. It's our topic today. For those online at www.blogtalkradio.com/DeaconThomasFarr, we also welcome you for listening in. And as always, you can always reach out to us on Facebook. We're on Facebook, Issues Christian Men's Talk. We're on Twitter at Issues Men's Talk on Twitter. And just to reach out for encouragement. I encourage those out there, if you're doing any men's events, you're doing a men's blog, men's Zooms, men's Bible studies, just like us, send it to us on Facebook, let us know, we'll post it. Because in a time in a season like this, we still need to take the opportunity where men can come together and encourage one another in the things of God, that it may be better husbands, fathers, and sons. So we want to always encourage that. Amen. And let me just send a shout out to those who are listening, and we're dealing with the shutdowns, the quarantines, the lock-ins, lockdowns, whatever you want to call it, trying to get a handle, trying to bring this virus under submission. So we continue to pray for those and pray for the healthcare workers working in the hospitals every day. I just wanted to say, because I work in a hospital, but there's nurses, there's doctors, there's a lot of people in the hospital. You know, well, let me say it like this. There's a lot of people working in the hospital besides nurses and doctors who are enduring, who are pressing in. I just want you to consider the people who work in the kitchens and the people who clean the hospital. How important are their jobs in the midst of all this? So I just wanted to give that shout out, because it takes, you know, we talk about what it takes a village, and it takes this, and it takes a team effort, just like the body of Christ. Everyone has a gift. Everyone is a member. And everyone has a call and a purpose just for their area. And if we do what God has called us to do, then we can be successful and we can move forward. So it's the same thing in the hospital. So I just wanted to give that shout out, because, you know, it's a lot of stuff going on, and we're forgetting a whole bunch of other people that work in these hospitals are on the same level of exposure. So I just want to do that. That's just something that comes to my spirit to encourage them out there. So remember them in your prayers. Remember those things that you're not seeing, because remember, the things you see is the things that there's more is done behind the scenes. For those of us in the body of Christ, we should know there's a lot of things going on behind the scenes that keeps ministry going and laboring for those. Also, I want to give a shout out to those who are still up and running and volunteering for pantries to get food out. You know, we got a lot of these groceries and stores and shelves. The shelves are empty, but there's food out there that's not getting thrown away. And that's where the pantries, the whole pantry networks come in. And the churches who are running pantries, and those who are faithful volunteers, are continuing to come out of their houses during the shutdown to serve. So if you see, if you know of a pantry, if you know of a pantry that may need your help, give them a call. I know we can't gather, but we can do shift work, because there's food out there. I was blessed with a pastor here in Anne Arundel County. He got like 70 boxes of 40-pound boxes of chicken. And we had to post it on Facebook to make sure we got it out and got it distributed, and then distributed and taken it to people's houses, because there's this food out here. Because, again, the shelves might be empty, but there's opportunities, and some folks don't just have the money. So it really doesn't matter if the shelf is empty if your pocket is empty. Amen? Amen. So in that, I'm going to open in prayer. We're going to get right to our discussion today. I have a special guest, Pastor Powell. Joseph Powell is going to come on. He's going to introduce himself in a few minutes. We're going to talk about the things that every son needs from his dad, because even in the midst, we still are called as fathers, husbands, and sons to stand in our place, to lead in our homes, to lead in the church, lead in our communities, and especially in times of crisis. Amen. And again, we're going to shut down. So these are opportunities to minister to our families. So we just want to encourage that they continue to go on, because, you know, we're not gathering in our churches. We're missing Bible studies, missing youth groups, but yet, in our homes, as always, should be our first ministry. And this is the opportunity God has given us to focus back on that thing. Amen? Let me pray. Father God, we say thank you right now, Lord. God, I thank you, God, for what you've done. Thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for, even in the midst of this crisis, God, you're showing yourself sovereign. You're showing yourself mighty. God, we know that you are in control, God. This thing is not a surprise to you. This thing is not a surprise to you. But Father, now I pray for the church, God. Increase their faith, Lord God. Open their eyes, oh God. Give them discernment, give them wisdom, oh God, that they might give you the glory in the midst of these circumstances. Father, we pray for the body of Christ today, God. We pray covering over them. We pray healing, God. We pray comfort, God, for those who have lost family members, those who have family members who may be sick, oh God. Those family members may be shut down, Lord God, that you can't be in their presence right now, God. But give them comfort today. Let them know that you are a God that can go through doors and through walls, God, that you're in the presence of your people. Comfort them right now. Hear their prayers, oh God. Father, for those in the hospital beds, in the ICU rooms, oh God, for those in emergency rooms right now, God, we pray their peace, oh God, as those are waiting for test results, God, those are waiting on ventilators, God. God, it's your will. We pray for your for their healing by your will, God. Father, continue to bless, continue to cover us, oh God. And, Father, when the opportunity is given for those who are called by your name, let them preach the gospel. Let them share the gospel, that a soul might be saved, no matter what their destiny is called, that the salvation of their soul is the most important thing. So, Father, continue to strengthen the church. Continue to strengthen me. Watch over those, O God, who are listening. Watch over my guest today, Pastor Powell, O God. Continue to strengthen him and his family, O God, and bless them. Give us peace. Give us security. And we say thank you. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Amen, amen, amen. One quick acknowledgement here. As always, here at Issues Fisherman's Talk, I want to encourage the brothers. While we're on the lockdown, while we're on the shut-in, we need to add to our reading list. So I got a couple of books I want to recommend this week. I've been recommending for this week. And next week, I'm going to get two more books I'm going to recommend for your reading, for the edification and for your growth. The first one is by Stephen Ferrer. That's Steve Ferrer, F-A-R-R-A-R. And the book is called Manna. When you're out of options, God will provide manna. And that's by Stephen Ferrer. You can get it at Amazon, get it in the bookstore, get it online, get it on Kindle, get it on audiobooks. You can just something to encourage you and strengthen you. Second book we want to recommend is as part of the opportunity to prepare ourselves for evangelism, because at some time we're going to go back out. We're going to go back out into the world, into the culture, and we want to be able to answer the questions. And when people ask us, what must we do to be saved? Or what must I do to get into heaven? Or what is heaven? We have an answer. So I'm going to offer up this study material. It's a book called Heaven by Randy Alcorn, A-L-C-O-R-N. Randy Alcorn, Heaven, Biblical Answers to Common Questions. So we will recommend those two books for you for this week. Next week, come back to the program. We're going to have two other books we're going to add to the reading list. Again, during this opportunity of shutdown, you know, there's only so much stuff you can watch. I know some brothers out there watching reruns of old sports programs. Please, pick up, do something. Study, increase your spirit. Because you already know who's won. So what's the fun of that? But that's just me. And also, we know we all binge-watching Netflix and all of our apps and all of our shows. But this is for the body of Christ, as men of God. We can take these opportunities now to mature our spirit, to stretch ourselves, to prepare ourselves. Because when this is over, are we going to go back out into the culture the same we came? Or is the church taking time out now so they can come out in its strength and power of the Holy Spirit? And we can go back out knowledgeable to speak the word of God into people's lives. Because even on the other side of this thing, salvation message should go out, and we should be prepared to give an answer and give a reason for our hope. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, well, we're going to get to our conversation today. Let me bring my guest on. Pastor Powell, Pastor Joe Powell, how are you, sir? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, and I'm great. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. Thank you. Thank you for taking time out to schedule and being part of our discussion today and being part of the program. I appreciate you very much.
Well, I appreciate you inviting me again to your show, and just to impart some wisdom and influence into the men. I know I'm still growing. I'm still looking for wisdom and godly influence from men, too. So I'm always glad to share what God has given me.
Amen. Oh, thank you, sir. So I'm going to start with it's a lot of things. We said the things that sons need from their dads. And I know you have a son, and you're a man of age and wisdom and experience. So some of the things, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions and just let me know. Just let the audience know how these things are important, and these are the things that we have to look at. Because, again, we're talking to some brothers, they might have, you know, elementary schoolers, toddlers, you know, they might have their son coming into, you know, how it is in that teenage years, those early teens, when they start feeling like they, you know, they're as tall as you. But in the midst of all that, how important it is, let me start here, this is my first question. How important is it that we as fathers, we set a good overall example for our sons? What do you say, sir?
Okay, that's a good question. First of all, dads are important in their daughters' lives as well as their sons, but we're going to concentrate this morning on how dads influence their sons and how they're important in their sons' life. First of all, dads parent sons in a different way than moms do. Not that moms parent bad or anything, but dads, just by their nature and who they are, they parent in a different way, and their influence is different to their son from that of their mom. So it's important that dad be an integral part of his son's life. Now, when I say an integral part of his son's life, even if the mom and the dad are separate, as much as possible, that dad should be a part of his son's life, because he can impart some things into the son that the mom just can't do. Now, I appreciate moms. I appreciate those single moms out there working, but there are some things that only a dad can do, because there's a scripture that iron sharpeneth iron. I'm of the opinion that every male needs another male in their life that can grow them and help them to mature into a man. And if all possible, that should be the dad. And even if dad is on the phone listening and his sons are mature, there's still other young men that you can impact and you can have influence on. God has given that ability that we can father or mentor many young men around us. So, yeah, it's very important that fathers be in their son's life. And the first thing that sons get from their dad is affirmation. They get who they really are from their dads. So I hope that's a good kickoff to your question.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That is. And you're right. There's a lot there you touched on in what you said. Because you know, where we are in this culture, in the midst of the things that are happening in people's lives, that father not in the home and not being married to the mother of your children. And even in that, I think the thing I would say to that is, as men, we have to find a place. We have to be able to humble and serve, because I think we have to humble ourselves. And I think a lot of the struggle in those circumstances is about pride of men, because you know it's a lot of things that go around with that when you're not married or separated or divorced. But I think a lot of it can be solved if we would just man up, not let our pride dictate how we handle circumstances and situations. And I think that's a level of humility that shows us a level of maturity that we have to deal with. Because our sons, regardless of what the circumstances is, we got to remember. I want to interject this early. We have to remember our sons are going to grow up to be men in this culture, in the community. They're going to become full-grown men. So I don't know, you know, if we look at ourselves in the mirror, we don't know at what age or when we realize that we were men, but our sons are on that path. And what kind of man is going to carry your bloodline into the future that you did or did you not have influence over in the shaping and molding of them? And I think that's one of the things we have to step back in, even in the church. We're going to get to the brothers, the unbelievers, and the brother on the other side. But I want to talk about right now. I want to be clear that I'm talking about our Holy Ghost filled, Spirit filled, anointed brothers of God who never miss a church service, who whatever. You know, what are we doing in the raising of our sons, and are we being that good example and influence? So that's what we want to do here in Encourage. And then let me say this too. I don't want to come off, as always here at Issue Christian Men's Talk, we don't want to come off as being on a pedestal and looking down over the brothers. Because I struggle with raising my oldest. Well, I have boys and girls, but even my oldest is my son. And there were struggles within that process. Because, again, I understand some of us didn't always raised in the church, so we brought some of the things from how we were raised and the relationships we had with the older men and our uncles, our fathers, and some of that stuff, which was some of the good, some of the bad, or whatever. But we had to come to a level of maturity, and some of the stuff that we went through as young men growing up in a different culture, we don't want to bring into the next generation. So I see that as sometimes also as an example. We have to, as men, humble and look at ourselves in the mirror. Because even if you came from a single parent, mother-only home, that was your norm and your regular, you know, you should look at that for the generations to come next and just be able to do different, to be different. And that's where I think the honesty and the transparency of what it is to be a Christian man and living a life for Christ is we have to see the things that we went through and try not to inflict that on the next generation. So I think that being a good example is good. It's a good thing in what you were saying there. It's a struggle. It's not always easy. I will say that. But let's keep moving forward. And you said something too about how mothers raise sons. What is the importance of men and how we deal with our sons and their emotions, how they respond to circumstances and situations of life. I'm gonna be gentle when I say this, Pastor. So work with me, you know, because we don't want to raise boys to be men that respond like women. I'm gonna give that to you, Pastor. And what do you say?
That's a very good question right there, because, like I said, mothers influence their sons in a different manner than dads do, and dads know how the world really is for men. And you're right, we have to treat our sons differently. And I'm going to be gentle, like you said too, but from the emotional side, a son will look at his dad, and if his dad is always blowing up at every little thing, if his dad is always angry, if his dad is always upset and exhibiting violent tendencies, guess what? His son is going to see that. His son is going to emulate that. So one thing we have to do with our son's emotions, we have to learn how to keep our emotions ourselves under control, because our son will see that, emulate that, and try to be like his dad. And his, the son will also learn how to respect other people from their dad. And so they're always watching their dad. They're always listening to their dad. They're always trying to be like dad. So it's very important that a dad treat himself as a man and act like a man. And it's, let me say this too before we go on. There's a difference in being a man and being a male. If the best perspective to get to see what a man is go to the source. And the Bible tells us what a godly man really does. And the Bible also tells us what a godly dad does. There's many sources to tell us how to be a dad, but the best place to see how a dad is done is from the Bible. I'm glad you said it earlier too, that dads are not perfect. You said you're not perfect. I wasn't perfect raising my son, but God is the perfect father. He's the perfect dad. So that's the best place to learn how to be a dad. And in a couple of minutes, I'm going to talk about how God treated Jesus as his son. But I'll turn it back over to you if you had another question.
Amen. Amen, sir. Amen. Amen. I'm going to go with, matter of fact, you said scripture. I'm going to scripture real quick here. Not real quick, okay. But I just wanted to give a connection here. I'm going to go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. And I'm going to give the audience and those who are listening here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, we're going to go to verse number 8. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially those in his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. There's a couple of things that stand out in that verse. I'm reading the King James, and it says, I want to focus, because it says, but if anyone does not provide for his own. So that to me stands out, that we ought to lead in our homes. Those in our household, we are responsible. And with all the things that we're talking about, even with our sons, it's more than the material. It's about the emotional. It's about the spiritual, or how we're providing. You know, it's not about buying our kids and our kids everything and getting them everything, the newest thing, but it's also about shaping and molding them, giving them that spiritual support, providing for them emotionally. And that's part of what we have to, because in this culture, we focus on all that stuff. But as men of God, we have to be able to focus, we have to broaden our perception And what are we sowing and pouring into our sons, because they are our future generations? And then, like you said, in Scripture, there's examples. Because if we look at them, we look at the, I always say this in our men's groups and when we get together, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that's three generations, and they all have problems. But yet, you know, God, and that's what I like to start with, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but yet God. Because all of them led to the Joseph. We celebrate Joseph. We celebrate Joseph because of who he was and the wisdom and the favor, the character issues. He ran away from part of his wife, all that. But look who his father, grandfather, and great-grandfather was. You would never think he would turn out. So that's what we, I just want to say that, as men right now in 2020, what is our son's children's children's children? And how is our influence going to go through the generations? And that's why it's important that we start with this generation of the things our sons need from us. It just hit me when you said that. But you're right. We have to be good examples. We just have to realize and be honest with ourselves and be about transparent and be about the transforming, renewing mind of the power of Christ in us, that we can do better in the church. It has to start with us in the church. Because we can't go out and stand on street corners or go into communities and rant and rave about what's going on for other men's kids. Because remember, every drug addict, dope addict, drug dealer, whatever, that's somebody's child and somebody's son. And there's a reason that these choices, again, it's something that I've learned a long time ago from men of wisdom. Sometimes the stuff we see, those things are the fruit, not the root. The root comes from somewhere. But us, as husbands and fathers, we have to start to take it. And you said something also. You know, your kid, your family, your house might be all right, but whose son are you looking out for? Your house might be fine. Your son could be the valedictorian. He's a righteous man. He's living good. He's taking care of his family. He ain't got no kids on the side. He ain't cheating on his wife. But what about the next man's son? And what are we doing as the church? Because, again, if we are to be called the church and to reach out, what are we doing? And how are we doing it? And are we in place to do it? You know, I'm coming back. I was drifting off. I'm coming back. However, let's just let that thing meditate on the hearts and minds of the brothers that are listening and encourage them. Amen? Amen. Again, this is Christian Men Talking. I'm Deacon Farr, and we're talking today about the things that every son needs from his dad. My guest here is Pastor Powell, Joseph Powell from, Pastor Covenant. I don't want to get it. I mess it up every time. What's the name of the church?
Okay, it's Covenant Lifehouse Ministries, and we are located at 508 McCormick Drive, Suites M through P, and that's in Glen Burnie. That's 508
Amen.
McCormick Drive in Glen Burnie, and Covenant Lifehouse
Amen.
Ministries.
There you go, Covenant Life. I get it back, but I got it now. Covenant Life House Ministries. Got it.
Right.
Amen. 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 Again, I thank you for coming on. I want to shift now. We're talking about examples right now, and I have one more thing I just want to, because you touched on it a little bit too. Are we setting good examples for our sons and what it means to be a husband? To really be a husband, and let me ask you this, sir. I want to talk about when we say that. I don't mean what they watched us as growing up, but are we speaking to our sons when they're at a mature level, so they don't have a fantasy of what it means to be a husband? I think that's the honesty and what it really takes to be a good husband. I know they could watch us, but sometimes they watch us from perspective as a child. And I think that's where a lot of marriages, especially young marriages, get in trouble, because they see their parents somehow as wonderful or terrible, and they think that's the way it should be. Do we have that? I know you do it in your church. I know a lot of good, solid pastors do it. They do premarital. But are we doing premarital for our sons about what it really means to be a husband? You understand what I'm saying, Pastor? Can you help me out with that?
Yeah. Sons learn their identity from their father, and fathers are always giving off important identity messages, even in their marriage. And it was important for me, my son and my late daughter, they would always see me and their mom. If we were having a good time, they would see us kissing and hugging. And they saw us arguing, but they also saw us arguing the right way. I never, ever called my wife a name. And we argued the right way. And then if they saw us arguing, they also saw us making up. So it's also important that they see these things. And I would talk to my son about certain things. And even now, as a young man with his own father, his own family. He has three kids. I can see him, some of those things that he learned, some of those things he watched, he's now doing those as a father and as a husband. So, yeah, it's very important that we not only be a good example, we have to teach from that example, and we can't neglect the part about speaking life into your son also. It's important that they watch us, but we also have to speak life into them. And what I mean by that is, if I can, let me go to Matthew's the third chapter, where God is dealing with his own son. This is Jesus being baptized. And Matthew 3:17, it says, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven says, this is my Son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased. The first thing that God did was affirm Jesus. He said, this is my Son. So sons need to know from their fathers, yeah, affirm me. You need to make me feel like I'm important in your life. So he says, this is my son. And then the next thing he says, whom I love and well pleased, that's validation. So affirmation and validation. I'm well pleased with you as a son. I'm always going to love you. I know you're going to mess up, but I'm well pleased with you. And then further on in the next chapter, Matthew's fourth chapter, around the sixth verse, the devil came to Jesus, and the devil start messing with Jesus with his identification. He says, if you are the Son of God, God already told him, you are my son. I'm well pleased with you. But then the devil tries to mess with his identification, if you are the Son of God. So those three things are, the father has to be very important and instilling those in a son's life. I affirm you, I validate you, and you get your identification from me and from God.
Amen, amen, amen. That's good, that's good. That affirmation. And then you're saying, right, and then you're right. And it's about us affirming them, encouraging them along the way, even when they may make mistakes, because most likely they will. But how do we, you know, how do we handle it? You know, and it goes back all the way to, you know, your child. It goes all the way back to the beginning, because it goes back to even when they're in grade school, and if they don't make the honor roll, they get bad grades or whatever. You know, as a father, you know, we can't just because our child didn't make honor roll or got a C, we got to find out why, what's going on. Because it's something, you know, you learned from a long time ago. Because I wasn't the best student back in school, but it wasn't always chastisement and making your child feel bad because they failed the class or didn't get an A or didn't make honor roll. Because we got to be very careful of that, because we never know what kids are going, you know, we don't know their development. But as a father, we should know. I would share with young fathers. You have to know where your kid is. Don't let the school, like you just said about affirmation, don't let the teachers and the school system or the whatever the educational process try to get the affirmation from them. You have to give the affirmation, but you have to know who they are and where they are, and then you come alongside. Because, again, even in the midst of this, I like it because even in the midst of these shutdowns, we got every child now is homeschooled. You know, we make a lot of jokes about it on Facebook and things like that, but what y'all going to do now? Y'all got your kids back, and you can't, and you're not going to work, so now what? So all these kids should be on honor roll, I'm thinking, I'm just saying. But that's just me. My kids are grown, so I'm not going to chastise or throw stones. However, I just want to throw that out there because, you know, but those are the kind of things that we have to see, and we have to have the wisdom to see and see the opportunities here. Because, again, your child might have been struggling ever since September. Now you get to see where they really are, and this, again, this is an opportunity because they're going to go back to school. But maybe now you need to see, because all you see is the report card. And you and a lot of us bond off report cards, but we don't even know the teacher's name. You see what I'm saying, Pastor? That's
right.
The thing. You know, we responded off report cards and grades, and that's how we respond to our children, but we really don't know what's going on. And that's one of the things, I'll say this, not in boasting, but when my kids were in school, me and my wife decided early, because I think something happened around third or fourth grade, and we used to go up to the school at least twice a month just in case. But we definitely would meet teachers, and we would roll up in the school for whatever. We would volunteer. Back in the day, you could be the class parent for a day or whatever. But we did some of that stuff because, again, but that just came to us, you know, because of who we were. And our kids, you know, we care. But some of us have to make time for that, to go be up in the schools, know these teachers, and let these teachers know that you're a parent that cares. And let me say this, and let me clarify this. You don't go to the school and act like a crazy fool. I'll put it plain. I mean, that may not be the Christian response, but you know what I mean, Pastor? Because I think we just need that wisdom. And I'm going to encourage the brothers out there as fathers. You have to be engaged, and that's some of the things that I talk about it here about. We have to be, this is what our sons need from us, the affirmation, and that affirmation covers the broad spectrum of life's events and what's going on in the lives of our children. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor, I want to go now. We're going to shift down here because I'm going to touch on a lot of things here while I have you in this time. It's two things we're going to talk about in this next part. It's about young men losing their sense of respect for authority and how they carry themselves, and then the purity piece. Let's start with how a father can instill a level of respect. I know I think it's died down a little bit now, but there was these last couple of years, there's a lot of things about how young men talk to police and show authority and respond to authority for people to have authority over us. And I think a lot of that is a responsibility of our fathers to put that in us, because you're going to be a man, but you have to also, as you grow, keep a healthy respect for authority. What do you say to that, sir?
Okay, that's a good question right there, because our young black brothers, they're always talking about respect, but old school learned that to get respect, you have to give respect also. It's always a two-way street, and I'm one that believes that respect always starts in the house. It starts with how you treat your parents, how you treat your siblings, and as a dad, how I treat my wife or my significant other, how I treat the other children in the family. So respect is earned. It's really earned. And every dad, you have to earn the respect of your children, especially your son, and you earn respect by showing them that you care for them. There's a thing called healthy respect. And earlier you asked me about how mothers act differently than dads. Now, a dad with a healthy respect, we might have a tendency to act from the rough side, the hard side, but the healthy respect, you kind of keep that under control. And a son will see how you respect the mother, how you respect authorities. You can be a man around other men, but you don't let them run over you, if you follow what I'm saying. And you respect other men the same way. So, yeah, respect is earned. Respect starts in the house. And as a dad, you can even show respect to your son. And they will learn from you respecting them. So that's one
thing. Amen. And I think that, Go ahead.
That's one thing that in our culture that's really missing. There used to be a time, I know I'll talk from my own perspective. When I was growing up, if the teacher said, be quiet, guess what? You got quiet. Now kids, they don't respect teachers because they don't respect their parents. They don't respect their dad. But respect always starts in the household. And a lot of kids look at other kids who are respectful as something is wrong with them. But that's the right way to be, is always showing respect, and then you get respect.
Amen, sir. And you know that example you use, it's something I learned, because that even now, as a father and a husband and grandfather, there's times even in my work life, in my professional life, you have to know when to stop. You just have to have that voice. You have to have that internal thing that tells you, okay, stop. Stop, even stop talking. Don't respond. You know, you have to realize that nothing's going to get, it's not going to be resolved. That's the word I want to use. It's not going to be resolved by going back and forth. And then you have to be the one to stop. And I think that's part of respect on, you're not trying to attack someone, you know, but you have a disagreement, but we can disagree and realize it's escalating past a point and someone just has to stop talking. And the same thing with marriage, because that's how marriages and arguments escalate out of control, because neither one of the spouses just want to stop. Just stop. Because, again, only a crazy person argues with someone who's not saying nothing to them. You know, so somebody, you can't be, Pastor told me a long time ago, you know, if both of you are acting like fools at the same time, if you both can't act like fools at the same time. So someone has to, you know, be the sensible one and then let the other one go on about themselves. Because one time, sooner or later, they're going to realize they're talking to themselves. But that's just me. Amen. But with that respect piece, you're right. We have to learn, we have to instill that in our young people, in our sons. Because, again, that's how a lot of things, even in their peers, when we talk about, you know, well, back in the day it was having fights and arguments, but stuff escalates because nobody wants to look like they're being run over, taken advantage of, or punked out. And then that's where it just keeps escalating because we just can't stop. We have to win. We have to be on top, which, I mean, there's a balance for that. But you also, it's like, what's the word I want to use? It's like healthy competition. There's a time when it's, okay, it's over. Let's stop. It's not a personal thing. But unless we learn that from our fathers, when it's time to just stop talking. And like you said, when that we lose respect for authority, when it comes even from police, your job, your boss, your teacher, whatever. I don't care. From elementary school to college, the professor, the teacher, the educator, the one that's running the class, the lecturer, you have to have respect in that thing. Because that's their position. And if you never respect anyone in authority, so if you have achieved to a place of authority, how are you going to expect people to respect you? And I think that's something we have to teach our sons. Someday you're going to be in charge. Someday you're going to be a father. And what do you think, what you're doing, if someone did it to you? And that's one of the things, I'll be transparent, that's one of the things I had to pull my son up on about. A time ago, you know, if you was in my shoes, how would you feel right now about what just happened or what? But that's where a father has to speak into his son, because again, you want to be, if you grow to be a father someday, what would you do if your son just said to me what you just said to me? You know what I mean? Go ahead, sir. Go ahead, Pastor.
The thing you remember said about what you just said about respect with the. Between the father and the son and authorities and being under authority, that's very important. The first thing I learned when I got into ministry probably 25 years ago is that you have to learn to be under authority. You can never be in authority if you can't learn to be under authority. And there's always authority somewhere in this world. So you have to learn how to respect authority, how to relate to authority, not letting them run over you, but having a healthy respect for authority. And that's where relationships come in with men and women, fathers and sons, fathers and daughters. There has to be a respect, because respect me because I'm your dad. And one way that a dad can show respect and teach respect, this is very key right here, you have to respect yourself. If the son or daughter see you not respecting yourself, and what I mean by that, if you're watching porn or you're into something that you shouldn't be into, that's not respecting yourself. And they see that, and that's an unspoken lesson that we put into them, that you don't even respect yourself. Key thing when it comes to respect, as a dad, you have to respect yourself, and everything that you do flows out of that respect that you have for yourself.
Amen, amen. That's good. Thank you, Pastor. That is it. That's where it starts. It has to start with us. It has to start with us. It has to start. It all starts with us. It starts with our relationship with God. It starts with acknowledging who God is. It starts with our scripture, understanding scripture and obeying scripture. You're right. It starts with us. And I think that's good, sir, because it all starts with us. We can't give to our children, our daughters and our sons, nothing we don't have. And that's where a lot of us need to be healed and delivered from our past. We need to put some things on the altar that happened to us, that we've been through, the things that we've done, forgive ourselves and then press on and then be able to translate that to the next generation. Because I think that's it. That respecting ourselves is very important. And sometimes, brothers, it can be a struggle. It can be, you can feel a certain way. You don't want people to know who you used to be, what you used to done, and what you've done, and what you're struggling with. And you brought up porn. That's a whole nother show we could do about that in the church. But these are the struggles. These are the secret sins. That's what we're going to call them. We're going to call the secret sins that we're struggling with that nobody knows. But, again, that's where God's power comes in, and in his mercies and his grace. And know that, just repent. Repent and ask for God's help. And then put yourself in a place and where you have others around you who are willing to pray and support you, pray with you and pray for you and walk you through this thing. That's why here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, we always, the passion for men's ministry, opportunity where men come together to share their issues and struggles, that they might overcome those things side by side and shoulder in shoulder, okay, helping each other. Because the things that we've been through, things we've been through and going through, other men have gone through and come out the other side. Amen?
That's a good point. Amen. Right there, too, that every man needs another man in their life that can uplift them, encourage them, and affirm them. So we need men in our lives, even if you're a grandfather. You need another man in your life that who can affirm you and encourage you and support you. If when I look back over my life, there's five distinct men in my life and different phases in my life. Their fingerprints are all over me, and some were younger than I was, but their fingerprints are all over me with things they poured into me, they influenced me on, and impacted me with. And even to this day, I try to mentor young men. At any given time, I might have anywhere from 3 to 5 young men that I personally meet with and talk to. And if something's going on in their life, they can call me, and we talk about any and everything. Nothing's off the table. Just because I'm a pastor, but anything is on the table. We talk about it, even mistakes I made in my life. Because it's important that a man, particularly a young man, learn that you're not perfect. You've gone through something, but you got over it through the grace of God. And they'll see that, okay, yeah, if you got through that, what I'm going through, I can get through this too. So those relationship with another male are vitally important. That's why you see men who are on the line, who played any kind of sports, whether it's basketball, football, whatever, or been in the military, they remember those days because they bonded with males. And all males need that male bonding with other males.
Amen, sir. You know what, sir? That's absolutely, you know what? You just encapsulated all of men's ministry in that sentence. You're right. You just turned the light on in my head. Those times when we was in the military, when we was sports teams, it was other males, and those are the things that we remember, that we have good memories about, those brothers and those people that we served and played with. And you're right. You're right. And that's what we need. But that's what we need now in the body of Christ, that same kind of feeling of encouragement. And that's where we get it when we have men's ministry, when we're transparent and we are transparent and honest in our victories and our struggles, and we're pulling in the same direction for the same common goal. If that thing is to please God, we can do more together than we can do separate. But we just have to get to that place where the being part of the church and being a man of God, it means something. It's just as, you know what, being a Christian is just as good as being on the Redskins or being whatever, the Wizards or the, whatever your team is, but being a Christian has the same priority in your life, what you're willing to do. You know, how many brothers out there right now listening to me, you got a jersey from your favorite team, and you'll wear it all season, but the church is going out to evangelize in the community. Do you got a T-shirt, and are you there every week? I mean, there you go. That's how I lose friends. But however, what are we doing? Where is our passion for the things of God and how God's going to use us collectively as the body of Christ, where he needs men, he needs males and men to stand up and lead in the communities and in the churches and be on those front lines when it comes to the spiritual things and be on point. And do we have that same kind of enthusiasm, that sense of belonging? We pray that we can stir that up in men and bring that into the body of Christ, where men are moving and men together are moving and accomplishing God's goals. You know, I think back, it's just coming to me as I'm sitting here, but we just think back of Joshua and the victories they had going through the promised land and all the tribes they met and the conflicts and the all that they had to do. Those were men fighting those battles under the leadership of Joshua and Moses to accomplish a common goal. So what are we doing spiritually now in the 2020, 21st century under grace, under the leading of the Holy Spirit, to get those same kind of victories in what's going on in these cultures? I don't want to pick on America because, you know, there's issues all over the world. But just as the body of Christ, do we have that same move, motivation, and stirring up in my spirit about that? Amen? But again, I diverse. See what you're doing to me, Pastor? You got me way off on this other thing here. But, you know, that's what I'm saying. When you're here, and when we come and we reason together, these are things that we stir up in each other that we can do, and to the glory of God. And I mean, God's going to do what he's going to do, and he's going to use who he's going to use, but don't we want to be part of that? Don't we want to do more than just Sunday for 2 hours and maybe Bible study? That's my big thing. Do we want more of God than just 2 hours a Sunday and maybe a Bible study? Out of 52 weeks, we make 30 of them. I'm just saying. Because it's just me. Amen, 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 amen. We're going to focus. We're going to move. Well, Pastor, we're coming up on our last segment here, and I just wanted to get your insight and your wisdom on this. Talking about purity and how we as fathers, are we responsible for, we are responsible, but are we sowing the importance of purity in our sons? Like you talked about it, about porn. And we're going to touch about it, about you know, our sons and their virginity and how they, and you know, if we're a womanizer or were previously a womanizer, are we talking to our sons about that and their sexual purity, and with the porn piece and with the, you know, how they carry themselves and the sexual immorality that sometimes, I mean, some people call it a generational curse. They call it a lot of things because your daddy and your granddaddy was a womanizer. Your father had kids over there. Your father had kids on the east, on the west, you know. But right now, as Christian men, is it important that we talk about this, we engage our sons on this at that certain age, that whatever that age may be. I know in the church, in Jewish culture, there's the bar mitzvah, and we know that we tell a young man, you're a man with responsibility within the tribe, within the community. But now as fathers, that purity piece, what advice could you give? I want you to give advice for the brother, again, who has, he has a 5-year-old, 6-year-old, 10-year-old, but then also for that brother, you know, we have evidences of the life you used to live because you have multiple, you have more than one child by more than one woman. But yet, you still have to, you want to sow something into your son for generations to come. So, Pastor, as you reason that out and get ready, I'm going to share a scripture that talk that this is what the whole thing we're talking about today as fathers is. Proverbs 17, verse number 6, and it says, children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children, and the glory of children is their father. And that scripture right there is just, this is what we're talking about as fathers and what sons need from their fathers. That it's about a generation to come. Amen. So, Pastor, what do you say about purity?
Yeah, it's you touched on something right there, Adik. It's amazing how, and this has been throughout culture, how culture has always taught, and fathers and mothers teach this. They teach young girls to always try to be pure. Guard who you are and guard your virginity and how you dress and how you sit down. We tell girls all these things, but it's also important for our sons. Sons or culture and dads and families send sons mixed messages because, as the old saying goes, it takes two to tango. Where we tell our daughters, be careful. Don't have sex until you're married. Or at least we used to tell them that. Don't have sex till you're married. But with sons, it's okay because we see it as a rite of passage. You go out and sow your wild seeds. But two-way street, we have to teach our sons to be pure also. Now, let me say this, being personal, I wish someone had told me that when I was young. And I'm not saying I went through that time that I was pure, but that's what God requires. He requires purity in men just as he does in females. And purity, even for a married man, they're still pure in your thinking, purity in your thinking. What are you lusting after? You may not goggle or Google over a woman when you're walking with your wife, but what's going on in your mind? So that's where all of our thought processes start, in our mind. So we have to be careful with guarding our mind as an adult male. We have to guard our mind. We have to tell our sons, always guard your mind. Always guard who you are, your purity. We have to tell our sons, it's not okay to have 5 different children by 5 different mothers. We have to tell them that. We have to tell them that if you have children, you have to be responsible for taking care of those kids. And right now with purity, oh my gosh, it's hard to guard your eyes because it's everywhere. On the early TV is on there. On late night TV is there. You can pick up any computer, so you always have to be on guard from things that society is trying to put into your mind. And it's okay. I'm going to say this way. It's okay for a young man to look away. I know the hormones might be raging, but it's okay to look away instead of looking at and letting these thoughts run into your mind. But yeah, purity is very, very important. Because what purity does, it sets the tone in your mind for who you are. And this is half kidding. I think one of the greatest things that justices that God put on men is for them to have a daughter. And then they can see, oh, my goodness, now I have a daughter that I try to do. The thing that I try to do with women is someone trying to do that with my daughter. So you put yourself in first place position then. So I hope that
answers
your question.
Oh, no, that's it right there, that last part. That right there, for all my brothers out there, that if that didn't get you, then I don't know what's wrong with you, because, you know, amen, amen. You know what? We're going to let that rest right there, because all the stuff that you did, it was somebody's daughter. It was somebody's daughter. So what are you teaching your son? What are you going to teach your son? Because even if you was a righteous man your whole life, fine. But even that porn, the strip club you were in, the stuff that you did, there was somebody's daughter. No matter what their circumstances, the background, that was someone's daughter. So if it was your daughter, how would you feel, and what would be your response? Amen? Amen. You've been listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. My guest today was Pastor Powell from Covenant Life House Church Ministries. Got it right? Amen.
Covenant Lifehouse Ministries.
Covenant Lifehouse Ministry. Okay, no church, just ministries. Okay, I got it. Amen. But Pastor, I do appreciate you coming in, sharing your wisdom, being part of the program today. And as always, we're at Israel Christian Men's Hope. We're here every Monday night at 8 p.m., every Thursday night at 8 p.m., and on Saturdays at 9 a.m., just to share and encourage and speak life into men as husbands, fathers, and sons. To just encourage each other, knowing that we have more in common than we are different, and know that we all are struggling. We have and are and will be tested by God in the midst of the struggle, but we always can come out on the other side and be encouraged by fellowship and trusting and believing in one another, and continue to pray and submit to the Word of God. Pastor Paul, could you give us, you have the closing comments, and could you pray us out, sir? And thank you again for taking time out this Saturday morning.
Okay, thank you for inviting me. I love being on today, and I hope you invite me back again. But what I do want to say that being a dad is extremely important. Conversely to what the culture said, you are important, Dad. You are important into your sons and daughters' lives. You are important for the culture also. Never let anybody downgrade your responsibility and importance as a dad. God said you're important, so you're important. And with that, I'll pray us out. Father God, we thank you for dads. We appreciate mothers, Lord, but we thank you for dads. Being a dad is an extremely hard road to bear. We have to walk the walk and talk the talk, and we have to exhibit everything that you have put into us to raise our sons and our daughters. For those fathers who are on the line today, Lord, who might be struggling, will you give them encouragement and let them know, Lord, that you got their backs. They will make mistakes, but you still have them. You still love them. And just like you said to your own son, this is my son whom I'm well pleased. Will you whisper that into each dad's ear, that you are well pleased with us? Affirm us, Lord. Will you validate us, Lord? Give us our identification from you, Lord, and not from the world. We thank you for how you have blessed these dads. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless.